From the home of the Codebreakers and the birthplace of modern computing, this is the Bletchley Park podcast.
This is MC Fontaine welcoming you to another Bletchley Park podcast extra. In February this year, Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Cornwall paid a visit to Bletchley Park to have afternoon tea with around 60 of our lady veterans. One of those veterans that I had the pleasure to interview at the time was former Wren Betty Flavelle. Her son Tony, who was with her on the day, has recently been in touch to tell us the sad news that Betty unfortunately passed away in June this year. He told me the visit to Bletchley Park was the last time Betty ventured out in the car with him, and although it was a very tiring day for her, she had a wonderful time. So as a tribute to Betty, we're again going to share with you the wonderful interview I had the honour to record with her. Tony and his sister Alex and brother Liam have also given us a little of their mum's background to share with our listeners. Yorkshire lass Betty was born in 1924 in York and had a very happy childhood. Dance was a great love of Betty's throughout her life. She began at the age of 4 when she took up ballet, tap and cabaret classes. At the age of 13, she joined the Winstanley Babes dance troupe and danced on many a stage in theatres across the country, from Blackpool to Shepherd's Bush, London. In 1939, with the Second World War looming, Betty was collecting for the Red Cross and was a volunteer at the NAFI HQ. Turning 16 in the spring of 1940, Betty left school and went to work in the York offices of British Rail until 1943 when she joined the Wrens. I'll let Betty take up the story from there.
Well, I was a bomb operator at Eastcote on Sea Watch. These machines never stopped. They went for 24 hours. You had to work in shifts, eight-hour shifts, which meant sometimes you were working all night. Three watches, and the other watch was on leave. We did get extra leave. Sea Watch was actually on duty when they announced VE Day. So it stopped the following day. The chief officer gave us all a little pep talk. Well, I think she thought we were all going to lose our honour because of everybody feeling free and throwing away caution to the winds and celebrating and drinking. She was, poor woman. It's been terrible for her. And we all rushed up to London and joined the crowds there outside the palace shouting and marching them down Piccadilly with about 20 Canadian Air Force officers all arm in arm. Had a marvellous day. And then we slept in the YWCA Baker Street, which we always did. Came back to Eastcote the next day. And it must have been the following day then that we then sat outside. There was a heat wave. Sat outside and smashed up the bombs. Well, didn't actually smash them. The Air Force boys, who were GCHQ engineers, they had dismantled the big things and we had all the small stuff and all these hundreds of drums. We had to take them apart. Everything was counted, screws and bearings and so on.
Did that make you feel, oh, what have we been doing?
No, that made we were all happy. That was it, it was the end of it.
So it sort of closed everything off for
yes,
you?
Yes, when we did come here, I got pushed into this big hut to the right of here, this great big giant machine, and told to help this other wren with this gigantic machine. It was just for a few days, and then I finished up going on overseas leave and went to Ceylon. When we were there, there was none of this work going on. We were doing the victualling for the ships. And in fact, some girls from here, civil service girls who wanted to go abroad, they had to join the Wrens, had to come in uniform. There weren't very many, but they were all made leading Wrens. And we were all annoyed about that because those who were leading Wrens had to lose their hook. It was only like a Lance Corporal's stripe, but you got a bit more money. I wasn't one, but I was on the waiting list. I'd passed my exam. But there were such nice girls anyway. You know, you couldn't have been angry with them. And there were only about 20 of us all together for this last group to go abroad. And we went on the New Amsterdam, which was a Dutch troop ship. And because there were just such a few of us, and the charming Dutch people, we put for first class with all the officers that wouldn't have done that in the British Army. Had an absolutely marvellous time. And I became engaged to a lovely Dutch doctor a fortnight later, leaning over the rail in the moonlight. Yes. And I was in Ceylon for about a year. Then we had to come back. We were the last to leave. They closed all the renneries. And we actually lived in the YWCA in Colombo. And then we had to come back on the Empress of Scotland or something with the British Navy.
I bet that wasn't first class,
was
it?
No, it wasn't. No, it was down at the bottom and it was horrible.
Demobbed in 46, were you?
Late 46 or early 47. And then finished up in Portsmouth. So it was a very happy time, really. I just wish I could meet some of the other girls that were at the table when we were breaking up the bombs, because we didn't know anything about Alan Turing then, or even the word Enigma.
But did you know that you were obviously helped break the codes?
Yes, so they said that then, that we all had to sign the Official Secrets Act.
A lot of people in different jobs to do with Bletchley Park or at Bletchley Park didn't actually know what they were. You know, they just thought they were a tiny little cog, but they were a tiny cog in a bigger sort of machine that was helping to,
yes,
you know, break,
yes,
the codes.
Yes, but they, well, I mean, obviously that goes on in all countries. The Germans were breaking ours, weren't they, everybody? And my husband, who he was in the army, but he lived near there and he was home on leave, he said the Americans on one of their badges was a link of chain without fallings and some lightning going through it. So what would you think that was? He said it was obvious there was some sort of interception. You know, he didn't know. He didn't know anything until I did. And he didn't know anything from me until 25 years later when he suddenly came up on the television. And this girl was talking about this bomb and we had it here at Gayhurst and I don't know where, but I said to him, I said, no, bloody hell, I said, that's what I was doing. Nobody told me I could talk about it. My poor old mum and dad were long gone, couldn't tell them.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Why not follow our channel on Audioboo, where you can also subscribe to the RSS feed, or you can subscribe to us in iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, where we're at @BParkPodcast, or join the Bletchley Park Facebook group. And of course, we must thank Audioboo, who make this podcast possible.